Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, and the title of the message this morning is, And He Prayed. And He Prayed. This is talking about the prayers of Elijah, where he prayed for rain and it rained. And where he prayed for it to quit raining, and it quit raining. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. And he prayed. James 5, 17 through 18. And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray now that you would forgive me for my sins. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would bless and anoint me as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. We pray if anyone here does not know you as Savior, that you'll convict them and save them. We pray that you would just bless our church. We pray that you would just draw people in here to hear your word. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. And he prayed. So the first thing we see from verse 17. Well, let me go ahead and read verses 17 and 18, and then we'll talk about them. So the Word of God says in verse 17 of James chapter 5, Elias was a man subject to the like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So the first thing we see here from verse 17 is that Elijah prayed. Elijah prayed. The Bible says Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. Now, the name Elias is speaking of Elijah the prophet. You'll see this in the New Testament in the King James Version that it will say Elias for Elijah. Elias is the Greek spelling of Elijah. Sometimes, of course, the New Testament was translated from Greek. The Old Testament was translated from Hebrew, and some parts of Daniel from Aramaic. And so when you see Elias in the New Testament, that's just the Greek spelling of Elijah. But it's talking about the prophet. So the Bible says Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, the Jews, later on, some of the Jewish writers began to say that Elijah was more than a man, that he was an angel. And so there's an emphasis here made of the fact that Elijah was a man, that he had the same temptations, the same issues that we have. And that's very important because this is a man who prayed and stopped the rain and then prayed again and the rain started again. The point of this is to show us that we can pray and God can do mighty things through prayer. So Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And we see this same phrase in Acts chapter 14. Paul and Barnabas were at the city of Lystra, and they healed a crippled man. And the people thought that they were gods, and they attempted to worship them. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 14 and verse 13, then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out and saying, Sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you. There's that same phrase, like passions. And preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. So Paul and Barnabas, this man is healed, and all of a sudden the people in the city of Lystra decide, hey, these must be gods, and we should worship them. And so they come to worship. Now today, when people want to worship, preachers or other people, a lot of times we just accept their worship, but not Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas said, no, you don't need to be doing this. They ran into the midst of the city and said, why are you doing these things? You're missing the whole point of our message. Our message is that you should turn to Jesus Christ in faith and trust in Him and not trust in your idols anymore. You should turn from those things and put your faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the message that they had. And what they said was, we also are men of like passions with you. We're human beings. We've got problems just like you do, even though we were able to heal this person, because it wasn't really us. It was Christ working through us. And that's the same thing with Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's an amazing thing. Here's a man that's just like us, and yet he had power with God in prayer. Well, Elijah was a man like us. In the book of 1 Kings, in chapter 19 and verse 4, the Bible tells about what Elijah did when Jezebel put a hit out on him. Jezebel was a ruthless woman, and Elijah had stood up boldly and confronted her prophets, the prophets of Baal, and the prophets of Baal had been slain. Elijah had killed them, and now Jezebel puts a hit out on him, and Elijah is reduced to running in fear and wanting to die. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. So what Elijah is doing, he's come to the place in his life where he's done this great thing for God, this great victory, and he confronted the prophets of Baal. But now, a lot of times after we have a great victory, the devil will attack us. And so the devil attacked him and convinced him to be afraid of Jezebel. So he had no problem confronting the prophets of Baal that worked for Jezebel, but when Jezebel comes after him, she was a horrible, ruthless person, Jezebel. And so he was scared to death, and that was obviously the devil just distracting him from what God had done and attacking him. And so he sits down under this tree and says, God, let me die. Let me just die. She's going to come and get me and kill me and torture me and all this. Just let me die here. Take away my life, O Lord, for I am not better than my father. So, I mean, I think it's a great thing to know that Elijah was like us, right? He does things for the Lord. He has victories, but he's a human being. And after that, he gets burdened down and depressed, and he wants to die. That happens to quite a few people. If you try and serve God, the devil will try and take you out. Right? That's his game. That's what his job is. You serve God and you may have a great victory. It's always important after you have a great victory in the ministry to pray, because there will be discouragement following. If you have a big Sunday with a lot of people in church and you worked really hard, the next Sunday hardly anybody will show up. Very discouraging. If you win souls and you have people committed to come and get baptized and walk down the aisle, they won't show up. And it's all part of the devil's plan to discourage. And so we and everybody here that serves God, if you're a Sunday school teacher or you're in charge of a ministry, whatever ministries you're a part of, be sure that the devil will try and discourage you, and he's going to try to get you to quit, because that's his game. If everybody gets discouraged and quits, there's nobody in church. I mean, that sounds profound, doesn't it? If everybody quits, there's nobody in church, right? But it's true. That's his game, is to get everybody to quit and destroy the church. So it's good to know that Elijah, the man of God who had power with God, was like us. He was a man. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Elijah prayed. He prayed earnestly, the Bible says, in verse 17. Well, you read about this in 1 Kings 17 and verse 1, and 1 Kings doesn't actually show Elijah praying for this rain to stop, but it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." That's bold, isn't it? Now, of course, Ahab's married to Jezebel. And so Elijah goes in before Ahab, and he says, "Look, buddy, I have asked the Lord, before whom I stand." By the way, Jesus said, when you stand praying, it was common amongst the Jews to stand up and pray. It's a good idea to stand praying, by the way. If you stand praying, you can stay awake while you pray. If you're praying for a long time, you can walk around and pray. So, but Elijah says, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." So Elijah is very bold here. I don't know if he pointed his finger at Ahab, but he's very bold, and he says, "It's not going to rain unless I say it." Yes, he was a true man of faith to do that, and that's exactly what he did. And so it did not rain. The Life Application Study Bible makes this comment: "The Christian's most powerful resource is communion with God through prayer. The results are often greater than we thought were possible. Some people see prayer as a last resort to be tried when all else fails. This approach is backward. Prayer should come first. Because God's power is infinitely greater than ours, it only makes sense to rely on it, especially because God encourages us to do so." So we need to put prayer first. Matthew Henry said this. He said, "The power of prayer is proved from the history of Elijah. In prayer, we must not look to the merit of man, but to the grace of God." That's very important. In prayer, we must not look to the merit of man, but to the grace of God. I think some preachers I've heard over the years preach are so discouraging about prayer that they make it so nobody ever will get their prayers answered. I guess that's an excuse for prayers not being answered, you know. But they'll preach it in such a way that you have to be perfect to get your prayers answered. It is not enough to say a prayer, but we must pray in prayer. He's saying it's not enough to say, "Now lay me down to sleep, and oh, I'll pray," but we must earnestly pray. Thoughts must be fixed, desires must be firm and ardent, and graces exercised. The instance of the power of prayer, this instance of the power of prayer, this that we're reading about here with Elijah, encourages every Christian to be earnest in prayer. God never says to any of the seed of Jacob, "Seek my face in vain." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. and it rained not on the earth. This is John Gill, and he says, on the land of Israel, which is only meant, it rained in other parts of the world, for the drought in those times was not universal. So Gill's just pointing out that when the Bible says it rained not on the earth, that it's talking about on the earth in the land of Israel. That was where the drought was at. I remember it was a focused drought because God was judging the people for their idolatry. So when Elijah said it's not going to rain, it didn't rain in Israel. I remember my grandfather telling a story about way back when everybody farmed. They had a country church, and there had been a big drought, and the farmers all got together at the church and prayed for rain. And when they prayed for rain, the rain fell while they were praying. It started while they were praying, but it only rained on the church. It didn't rain anywhere else. Now that's miraculous, but they might should have prayed for the rain to go everywhere. But at any rate, this is what happened here. It rained on the land of Israel. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now that 3 years and 6 months time frame, Jesus said the same thing in Luke 4:25, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and when great famine was throughout all the land. Gill says, by the space of 3 years and 6 months, which exactly agrees with the words of Christ in Luke 4:25, and this was in judgment upon the land of Israel for the idolatry it was filled with in the times of Ahab. And this instance of prayer is mentioned not with a view that it should be imitated. We are not to pray for judgments unless we have a divine order for it, as Elijah had. But we pray to show the efficacy of prayer made according to the will of God. In other words, some people like to pray imprecatory prayers against whoever they don't like. And they like to say, well, I'm going to pray that God will judge that person. Well, we're not really supposed to do that. We're supposed to love our enemies and pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And Gill says as much, and then he says, we pray to show the efficacy of prayer made according to the will of God. Prayer according to the will of God gets answered. The Bible says in 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's why it's good to pray Bible prayers. God may give us liberty to pray for certain things, but you know that if it's in the Bible, if it's something that God wants, then it's something that God hears and that God will honor in prayer. For instance, we know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you know that if you're praying for somebody's salvation, that that's something that God wants. And you know that God will convict and God will work in that circumstance. Doesn't mean they'll get saved, because man, you know, has to consent to salvation. God doesn't force man to get saved, but you know that God wants everyone to be saved. And there are other things that God talks about in the Bible. That's why it's good to use the very words of Scripture when we pray, if you can. If you've got Scripture, use the very words of Scripture. So we've seen here that Elijah prayed, and then we see Elijah prayed again. Well, my outline today only has 2 points, Elijah prayed, and Elijah prayed again. Verse 18, and he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I'm glad that Elijah was able to pray and stop the rain, but I'm glad he prayed again. And it started raining again. That's always a good thing. 1 Kings 18:41-44. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is sound of abundance of rain. Elijah is prophesying that the rain is going to come again. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Elijah is intensely praying here. And said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. So the servant goes and says, there's nothing there. And so Elijah says, go again 7 times. And Elijah keeps praying. And God's already told him there's going to be rain. And the servant comes back and sees, I see a cloud small as a man's hand. I see a little cloud there. And sometimes that's the way it starts. When God begins to move, it starts with something small, and it grows. And so we see here that the rain is on the way. So there had been drought for 3 years and 6 months, and now the rain is on the way. Sometimes the drought stays for a while, but the rain will come. The rain is on the way. I had a whole message on that at one time, but preached it in Bible college, I think, for a class. But the rain is on the way. And that's true in every situation or well, God always shows up. Depends on how he shows up. But, you know, this church may sit with the crowd it's got for a while, but don't worry, the rain is on the way. If we keep preaching, keep evangelizing, keep inviting, keep praying, God will send the rain. It may take 3 years, but the rain is on the way. It'll come. Now, as to this praying for it there to be a drought and then praying for there not to be a drought, I remember my dad's telling a story about my Aunt Eula. And Aunt Eula had a problem, a medical problem, and she could not sleep, and she needed to sleep. And so Dad said that at that time he had been trying to live according to the Bible as best as he could, and he was trying to see if he could get all his prayers answered. And so he was just trying to live as best he could, and he believed God would answer the prayer. So he went to Aunt Eula's house, and he said, Lord, she can't sleep, and the doctor says if she doesn't sleep, that she's going to be in trouble. Let her sleep. And she went to sleep. And then she stayed asleep for too long. She didn't wake up. Weeks and weeks she was asleep. And so the doctor said, if she doesn't wake up, she's going to be in a coma, and she's got to wake up. And so Dad went to her house, or to the hospital, I guess she was in at that time. I don't know how they did it at that time, but he prayed, Lord, she slept long enough. Let her wake up. And she woke up. Now, God can do things just like that. I'm going to close with this story here. Chuck Smith, who was the founder of the Calvary Chapel movement, and he's now with the Lord, but he was the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, California. And this is a story he told about a summer camp that the youth went to. Chuck Smith said, we had a summer camp up here in Idlewild. That's some rustic place in California. In fact, I think there's still a picture in the office of the summer camp that we had up there. And this one afternoon at dinner time, it started pouring rain, just pouring down. We had a tin roof, and it seems to magnify even the intensity of the rain. But you know how the mountain summer rains are, the thunderheads, and just really pouring. So at dinner time in the announcements, I announced that we would have the outside victory circle meeting. And the kids said, "We can't have it. It's pouring rain." I said, "No, I've asked the Lord to stop the rain at 6 o'clock so that we can have our victory circle. So we are going to have the victory circle at 6 o'clock outside." 6:05, the rain stopped. We had victory circle. At 6:05, I said, "Okay, you better get into the fellowship hall pretty quick because I asked the Lord to hold off the rain until the evening service." So we got into the evening service, and at 6:05, it started pouring again. They said, "Aha, you said 7 o'clock. You told the Lord, and it's 6:05. I said, "Well, he knew better than I did that you needed more time to get into this place." All during the service, it poured rain. And so I said after the service, "Okay, you can go up to the snack bar for a half hour and be in your cabins by 10:30. Well, it quit raining. They went up and had their snacks, and those that didn't get in by 10:30 got soaked. It started raining again. Hey, I'll tell you, after that, those kids sort of left a distance between themselves and me for a while. But Elijah was a man of like passions, and he prayed it would not rain. And he prayed again, and it rained. We so many times, this is what Chuck Smith concluded with this. He says, we so many times are guilty, I think, as the children of Israel, of limiting that which God would do just by our unbelief. What could God do if we believed Him and prayed? So in summary, pray. Number 2, keep praying. Number 3, pray again. And number 4, don't limit God. Just pray. Whatever the situation is, pray. God wants to answer prayer. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. And then he prayed again. And we can do the same thing. You can have power with God in prayer. And most of the time, the problem is that we just don't pray. We just don't seek the Lord. I think because we don't believe He's going to do anything. We need to believe God and pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these Thy people. I thank You for the work You're doing in this place. I pray that we would earnestly pray. I pray that, as Matthew Henry said, we would pray in our prayers, that we would earnestly pray, that we would see You do great works. I pray You'd forgive us for limiting You through unbelief. I pray that You would just give us faith. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Give us faith to trust You and to pray. And I pray that You would show us Your will so we could pray in Your will. And as the Bible says, that we could have the things that we ask because they're prayed in Your will. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.